Chapter 2, verse 34 through 35. When you find that, if you're able, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word this morning? I'm not going to say who it was, but someone at this church got me a couple of joke books. I spared the early service because nobody laughs at 9 a.m. It's hard to get you to laugh at 11, but I did find this out. Alex, Lydia, you'll like this. Sometimes Savea gets to watch Leah, and I found out who the best babysitter was in the Bible. It's David, because he rocked Goliath to sleep. Now we're going to look, I got so many right now, I've got so many jokes, I'm going to spare y'all just so many of them right now in my head, but I'm going to preach today and not tell jokes, all right, fortunately for you. Luke 2:34, the Bible says, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray. Father God, Lord, help us in our times of struggle and trial. Lord, we pray now that you would help us, guide us, Lord, as we look today in your word. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. Allow me to say only that which is a thus saith the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Simeon tells Joseph and Mary, as he holds that baby, that this child is set for the fall and rising of all of Israel and many in Israel, and he's going to be the sign to these people, the target, literally, of the evil world. Jesus had many trials on earth, didn't he? Peter believed, but Judas betrayed. One thief on the cross died in sin, while one thief on the cross died to sin. Paul repented, while Agrippa resisted. Christ raises up all who will believe, but is a great stumbling block to all those who disbelieve. Many are attracted to Jesus, while many others are repulsed by him. The same people who won't say Merry Christmas will say we have presents under our Christmas tree. Jesus is the literal target that people shoot at, the target of evil. And thus, Simeon says, he's going to be pierced through. But he also said to Mary, but you also. He says that thine own soul also would suffer. Now, I want you to think about Mary's trials for a moment. Being the mother of the Messiah was not all that it was cracked up to be. It was a blessing and a burden. The Mater Dolorosa, the mother of sorrows, she became a young widow. You think you got family drama? She had a literal family feud. John 7:5, it says that Jesus' brethren believed not. Now, can you imagine this? The Bible says that Jesus had brothers and sisters. We know Joseph, we know that James, we know that Jude are Jesus' brothers. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's this woman who we assume has been widowed to this point, young enough if she was truly a teenager at Jesus' birth. So we're talking about a lady in her 50s at the most. Here's her adult son at 30 years old going out to minister, and she's got other children who don't believe that he is who he says that he is. Now, I want you to think about how egregious that is. Joseph was told by Gabriel the angel, take the woman. The baby that she's having is the Holy Ghost baby. Bring that son forth and do these things. He was told in a dream, get him up out of that land, get him to Egypt, hide him, bring him back to Nazareth. Joseph knew. Mary was given favor by God, and the angel came to her and explained to her. And so Jesus, obviously Mary born of a virgin, Mary had to have explained. I have to believe that James and the brethren knew the story. Don't you believe that Joseph and Mary would have told them the story of Christmas? That a long time ago, mom was born. You know, they were probably amazed when she said, and mom, you know, some of you mothers are like, yeah, this would be the great story to tell your kids. You've told your kids these lies. Like, and mom, yeah, well, Jesus was born and I had never known a man yet. And they're like, okay, mom, yeah. No, this is true. And Joseph's like, yeah, it's true. Yeah, mom had Jesus and she was a virgin. What? Can you imagine being at home? I don't think it was like Elsa and Anna. I don't think that James ran into Jesus' bedroom and said, Jesus, do you want to build a snowman? I don't think that happened. I don't think Jesus was just there levitating things and doing miracles for his brothers because he didn't do his first miracle until they were in Cana of Galilee at the marriage when he turned water into wine. But I have to believe that they understood something about who Jesus was. I don't think that Mary and Joseph hid that from them, yet they still didn't believe. You say, well, Pastor, you can't prove that. I can prove this. They saw Jesus doing miracles on earth, yet they still didn't believe. Until after the resurrection, his brothers, James, who becomes a major figure, the bishop of the Church of Jerusalem, writer of the book of James, Jude, Jesus' brother, writer of the book of Jude, we believe, major figures did not believe Jesus was who he says he was, didn't believe their parents until after the resurrection. You talk about a family feud. You can just see that right now. Mom always treating Jesus better than us, and she's like, well, he's God. What do you expect from me? Like, Mom always let Jesus have a big piece of chicken. I can't believe this. You know, he's the oldest, and he's God. It's a family feud. Maybe it was jealousy why they couldn't believe. I don't know. Bible doesn't tell us why. While the Pharisees are slandering her son's name, she stands by desiring to speak to him. And Jesus tells us, he says, they say, Jesus, your mom and your brothers, they want to talk to you. And he says, who are my mother and my brother? But those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Mom is trying to spend a little time with her oldest son. And he said, Mama, I got business to do with my daddy right now. Some of y'all moms will say, it sounds just like my son. He never comes to visit me. Yeah. He's doing the work of the Father. The rejection and the ridicule of her oldest child only grew until finally one Friday, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And there she watched her son crucified on the cross. What can we take from this and the trials that Jesus and Mary suffered? In these verses, we also can find the peace or the solutions to peace in our trials, the solace or our consolation, our comfort. Today, if you're going through trials and tribulation, I want you to follow the example of Jesus, but also Mary. Jesus is the great example, obviously, but Mary, his mother, was an example. And I want to show you that this morning. Whatever trials, troubles, problems, tribulation you're going through right now, hear ye the word of the Lord. In our trials, we have peace in his resurrection, number one. There is peace in his resurrection. In verse 34, it says, for he's going to be a sign, this, the rising of, and the fall of many in Israel. There's going to be this fall, but there's also going to be this raising. There's a resurrection. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, 2 through 6 this morning. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul walks around and says, we've been through a whole bunch of things, and we went through those things so that you could see that we could make it through them. Jesus went through a bunch of things. Mary went through a bunch of things, but they went through those things, those sufferings, so that you know that you can walk through them. And the major marker of that, the way you can have peace, is the same way that Mary found it. Look at Luke 2:25 with me this morning. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He's looking for the Messiah. We know he found him. But Mary, she heard those words. He's speaking to her. But Mary also found consolation in the resurrection. Look at Acts 1 and verse 12. How was Mary given peace? This is the last mention of Mary in the Bible. People will say that there's no scripture to prove that Mary saw the resurrected Jesus. Maybe that's true, but I want to show you something this morning, how she had peace. A mother who who lost a young son, 33 and a half years old, who saw him get the nails put through his hands, who saw him ridiculed, beaten to the place where she couldn't see and recognize her son, where people spat on him, where people were reviling him, even another thief on the cross reviling him. And Mary, she comes to this place. The apostles have just seen Jesus ascend into heaven, and then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John. That's not Jesus' brother James. That's James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, Bar-Jonerys. And Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. But watch this. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This is after the resurrection. Now his brethren are following Jesus. Now what the family feud has ended because Jesus has been resurrected. So now Mary's got peace. Her son's got peace with each other. Mary's got peace because her son's been resurrected because he's alive. And she remembers, we believe the consolation of Israel is Jesus because he's alive. You see, I don't watch it all the time, but every once in a while I watch Let's Make a Deal. Watching old Wayne Brady's up there. And to me, they ask ridiculous questions. And there's ridiculous deals they try to make. Because I'm a Baptist preacher. If they said to me, Bryson, would you like to take what's behind the curtain or the $2,000? I'll take the $2,000 right here, right now. Because what I know is, I've watched it enough. Sometimes they turn the curtain back and it's two sea-doos. I can't swim. I don't want no sea-doo. I'd rather have the $2,000. You say, well, Pastor, you can sell it. I don't want to sell it. Just give me the cash. $100 bills, y'all. That's all I would. They say, would you like to take what's behind the curtain or would you like to take the five? You know how he keeps counting up? Well, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. I'll take the 5,000, Wayne. Behind the curtain. Oh, a trip to Paris. I don't really want to go to Paris. I can eat French fries here. Okay, $5,000 is just good enough for me. That's how I feel about it. But you know, sometimes you get zonked or there's this consolation prize or you get nothing. And it's weird because the word consolation, it's like we use for the consolation prize. It's something to bring comfort to someone after they lost. Little kids play in a consolation tournament in Gus Macker basketball. They called it the toilet bowl. And you got a trophy that was actually looked like a toilet bowl. And you know what? The toilet bowl trophy was just as nice as the big trophy. So no big deal. I'm going to put it on my wall. 20 years later, I don't know where any of those trophies are. But listen, this consolation as Jesus Christ is a different kind of consolation. It's not just a okay consolation. This is a consolation. Oh, he died on earth, but he rose again. And because of his resurrection, I have peace. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Listen, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to live, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to let me know that my Savior lives. Listen, all I'm saying to you is because Jesus is alive, I can face tomorrow. It doesn't matter what tribulation or burden I'm in right now. All my fear is gone because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. I can live. It's okay what I'm going through on this earth. Mary said, it's okay my baby got hung on a cross. It's okay the brothers wasn't getting along on earth. It's okay that they talked bad about my baby. It's okay. Some of y'all boys, they was talking about your baby at the basketball game. You'd have been up on the court, had your shoes off, earrings out, ready to scrap somebody. And Mary stood by the cross, and she waited, and she saw Jesus dying because she pondered those things that Simeon said in her heart, and she realized that he had to rise after he fell so that we could all live, and that was the consolation of Israel that came. Praise be to God. Oh, you go through hard times, but there's a consolation, and it's the resurrection. After all this life is done, after all the burdens and trials, after everything is done, we get Jesus. I spent Christmas celebrating Christmas yesterday with my parents and my daddy. My grandfather died last December 6th on the day that my dad turned 65 years old. So a year later, 19 days before Christmas, my father had spent 65 Christmases on earth with his daddy. And last Christmas, my dad was telling my kids, you know, last Christmas was a sad time because after 65 years, this is the first time I spent Christmas, his mother still living, without both of my parents, and without my daddy. And he said, but you know, he said, But this year is a celebration. He said, because now I can say my daddy been in heaven with Jesus. He was a saved man. He been in heaven with Jesus for a year now. He's celebrating with Jesus in heaven today. He don't feel no more pain. He was 84 years old. His legs don't hurt no more. He ain't got to worry about breathing issues no more. He's there with our Lord and our Savior. And now I can say this is consolation. We can celebrate Christmas this year. We ain't got to be sad no more. Because he lives, I know my daddy lives. Because he been resurrected with Christ. You say, oh, Pastor, that doesn't fix my earthly life. Let's keep talking. See, there's peace in his resurrection, but there's also peace in rejection. Now, some of y'all need to hear this real clear today. He said, what are you talking about, peace and rejection? Look at verse 34, second part of the verse. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. A sign. What is the sign that shall be spoken against? When it says spoken against, it literally means that people will reject or hate or revile, that that sign is the target. It's the literal scapegoat for everything. What's the sign? Jesus says, you adulterous and you adulterous generation, you want a sign, you seek a sign. He said, but no sign shall be given unto you except for the sign as Jonas was in the whale 3 days. As the prophet Jonas was in the whale, so shall the man be in the earth. So Jesus, the sign is the gospel, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And because of this sign, people revile, they target him, they reject him. But, you know, we kind of have a victim mentality in our society. Everything happens to us. But I want you to hear me. You ever feel like everything and everyone is against you? Yeah, we all feel like that. But literally, I got news for you. You're not that important. Everyone and everything is not against you, even when it feels like that. Everything and everyone is either for Jesus or against Jesus. That's all there is to it in life. Righteous or wicked, saved or lost. You say, well, Pastor, there's got to be in between. Nope. There's no pretty okay. Everybody either, you either love Jesus or you hate Jesus. And even if you say you love Jesus, Jesus says, oh, you act like you love me, but your actions say you hate me. And then we know the story. The one son, he went out. He says, oh, I'm not going to do what my daddy says. But then he ended up doing it. The other son said, Dad, I'm going to do exactly what you say. But he didn't do it. Listen, Jesus says your actions back up and prove whether you really love me or not. You might not always act saved or look saved. But if you're living behind the scenes in actual prayer and praise, then Jesus says, you know what? You really know me. What are you talking about, Pastor? Rejection is not the worst thing in the world. Rejection is not the worst thing in the world. Some of y'all need to write this down. Sometimes the rejection is protecting you from something worse. Sometimes the rejection is protecting you from something worse. Now, I can't prove this, but I got to believe this. All of a sudden, Jesus' brothers believe after the resurrection. Maybe God was protecting. Maybe they were rejecting because had they believed, remember how they treated Peter, how they wanted to get him, and Peter denied 3 times. Remember how all the other apostles had to flee? If they would have said, they said, isn't this not this man Jesus? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Wasn't he from Galilee? Can any good thing come from Galilee? Can you imagine if James and them boys would have said, yeah, that's our big brother? They probably would have beat them down too. They probably would have hurt them too. Maybe we wouldn't have the book of James. Maybe we wouldn't have the book of Jude, because maybe they would have been killed too, hung with them. Maybe God was protecting them, giving them an opportunity to reject Jesus so they could be saved till after the resurrection. Because what happened after the resurrection, right after what we saw in Acts 1 and Acts 2, the Holy Ghost comes upon them and fear comes upon the people. And all of a sudden we got an army. We go from 400 or 500 people to 3,000 people believing in Jesus, getting baptized, added to the church from that day. The next chapter over, we see another 5,000 people getting saved, people being healed in the name of Jesus. And maybe they just said, maybe God said, we're going to protect you in this period of time. We're going to put a hedge of protection around you so you can reject. Rejection's not always the worst thing that happens. Some of you have been rejected in your financial life because, you know what? Had you had the money, you wouldn't have known what to do with it. I'll tell y'all right now, I'll be the worst millionaire in the world because I'll be poor the next day. You can quote me on this. If I'm a millionaire, everybody here, you ain't got to worry about nothing. We good. Because I'm just, it's just who I am. I will give into it. Man, if I had it in me, I would help the homeless until I was homeless myself. And that's not calling me St. Bryson or that I'm good. It's just how I am. Money burns my pocket. It has since I was a little kid. My dad gave me $1 for doing some work. And the next thing my dad knew, I said, "Daddy, can we go to the store?" He said, "Boy, you just got that money. Is that money burning a hole in your pocket? Anybody ever heard that before?" I say, "Yeah, Miss Linda Sal, you're sewed it back up." Amen. Rejection's not always the worst thing. But listen to this. Sometimes when you're being rejected, it's just someone trying to tell you who they really are. And when someone is trying to show you who they really are, believe them. The consolation of Israel will come, and ultimately that comes in the millennium. But listen, this rejection, they rejected the stone that was set at naught, the Jews. But it has come salvation to the Gentile believers now because of the rejection of the Israelites. You and I are only saved because Israel rejected and put our Savior on a cross. What seemed to be a trial to everyone else was actually a blessing in disguise. My great-grandmother Settles had two daughters, my mom's mother, my grandma Washington, and her sister, her younger sister, my great aunt Imogene. And Christmas time was special. My great grandmother, she died when I was about 9 or 10 years old. They lived out on a farm, but her daughters must have got it from her, and my mom must have got it from her. But every Christmas, they would sit out a big candy thing and fresh fruit. And so, you know, it would have those like little orange slice candies, and it would have that hard candy that you got to bust apart to get a piece of it. And, you know, it would have malted milk balls and chocolate covered peanuts and raisins and all kinds of stuff. But there was one delicacy on that tray that I wanted every year. We lived about an hour away, and I had some other uncles and cousins that lived that far away, and some lived right there. But there was one thing that nobody in my family liked except for me and one of my uncles. And I knew if I could beat that uncle there that I would get them all to myself. And that little delicacy is orange and fluffy and chewy, and they call it a circus peanut. Oh, I love a circus peanut. Anybody testify to a circus peanut today? Boy, you give me a shovel right now and I will just start digging circus peanuts right into my mouth. But I would get to my great-grandmama's house and I would get there and I'd come running in there. And you know, when you're young and you get there, you got to say hi to all the adults first. It don't matter if they're 18, 17 and a half. If you don't speak to the adults, you will get killed, right? So you're going around and you give everybody a kiss. Yeah, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I'm trying to get to them circus peanuts as fast as I can. And I would get there, and if my uncle had beat me there, all the circus peanuts was gone. Because we knew nobody else liked them. I'd be disappointed. You know, my uncle got here again. I hate him, stupid uncle. But there's more hope. Because we would leave from there and go to my grandmama's house, my great-grandma's daughter. And my grandma did the same thing, the same setup, and she'd have those circus peanuts. And I'd get there and see all the people that was there, and I'd run downstairs real quick and take a right and take a quick left into the kitchen and look at that candy dish. My uncle got all the circus peanuts. Now, we got one hope left. I've been upset. But old Aunt Emma's house, old Emma Jean Brooks, she lived up on the hill, and there was her candy dish. She would walk up into the house to walk down into the house. You know what I'm talking about? Them old hills down in Ripley, Ohio. You got to go up in the holler into the house up here. The house is 75 feet in the air, okay? And then because it floods at the river, you know, you got to walk 75 feet up, and then they got the audacity to have the family room down here. Then you got to walk all the way down. And I would hustle up and hustle down, and God bless Aunt Em. There were my circus peanuts. My uncle didn't get there, so I grabbed them all, stuffed them in my pockets and everywhere I could, and stuffed a few in my jaws. I was a chubby kid, and walked around with my circus peanuts. Listen, all those circus peanuts that everybody else was rejecting were a blessing to me. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Jesus was trash to those. They treated him like trash on earth, but he's my treasure. I'm glad today that Jesus' earthly rejection opened the door for my salvation. Next time you're having a bad day or a bad season in your life, a trial, a problem, a tribulation, find some peace in the fact that you're just like Jesus. He was rejected too. And he was rejected and he was set for a fall, but he rose up and we're more to bless because of it. all Hebrews 4:14 says it like this. See, without a test, there's no testimony. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. See, when you're saved and you go through tribulations, because you know your Savior's been through the same things, you can hold on to him. You can squeeze on to him. And then when you look at that next verse, watch what happens here. Jesus, we're holding on to the profession and we have this great high priest. But God says this. He says, he's been touched with all these things, the feeling of our infirmities. He's got the same things going on in our lives, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How does it say that you can find help in time of the need? If you remember that Jesus was rejected as well, but Jesus was rejected and never sinned. And then when you take his yoke upon you and you say, listen, his yoke, that is easy for him. He said, my burden is light. He said, you don't have to worry about it because I already took care of this. That's a good high priest, isn't it? There's peace in rejection. You say, that just don't even sound right. But listen to me. Sometimes you need to be rejected to remind you that you ain't all that. Sometimes somebody needs to tell you no, or somebody needs to set you back in your place so you realize, so you don't get so high and lifted up that you begin to thank your God. Because the same God whom you say you love and whom saved your soul thought himself of no reputation and said, guess what? I'm going to come to earth. And I'm going to be treated like trash. I'm going to be born in a manger, hard and bumpy, and there's no room in the inn for me. I'm going to be born and I'm going to live a bad life. I'm not going to be able to spend all that much time with my mama because I got to go out here and work. My brothers don't, they ain't going to believe in me, even though mama and daddy on earth told them who I was, but they're going to just keep on arguing with me. And my sisters, they ain't going to believe me. I'm the oldest brother and they looking at me like I'm crazy. Jesus, you think you're the black sheep of your family? Jesus is God. And his brothers and sisters like, we don't believe you. That sounds crazy. And Jesus is like, mom and dad know it. They seen the angel. And they're like, psh. He's like, when I was born, shepherds came and worshiped. When I was born, wise men came and worshiped. And they're like, yeah, right, Jesus. Jesus is like, okay, you don't believe me. By the time we see in John 7:5 that they didn't do that, Jesus had already healed blind people. He had already made deaf ears to hear. Jesus had already called palsy men up. Jesus had already done all kinds of things. And said, we don't believe you. Sometimes rejection isn't the worst thing in the world when you think about how Jesus was rejected. I want you to also know there's peace in his revelation. Look what Simeon says in verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's peace in the revelation, the word of God. It's infallible. It's irreplaceable, it's inerrant, it's inspired, it's the actual, factual, physical God in text. It's the living word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we have this faith in the word of God, Jesus Christ being the word made flesh, we have to understand that what Simeon says there is the first reference to Christ suffering death in this gospel. The greatest trial mankind is currently in is the trial against salvation. The hardest thing for people to do is to get saved. The hardest thing for people to do is to repent and to follow Jesus. The hardest thing for people to do is be saved, act saved, live saved, love saved, and show everybody else how to be saved. It's the hardest thing to do. I'm not going to lie to you. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle, and it's one that can't be won by human means. You'll not win it with the wisdom of words. You'll not win it by having money. Listen, money issues can be solved. You can get money issues solved, whether it's getting a loan, whether it's borrowing it. This isn't the way that you should do it, but whether it's robbing a bank, money issues can be solved. Relationship issues can be solved. Sometimes the relationship issue is that the relationship got to end. That's how it's solved sometimes. Medical issues can be solved. They can do more with medicine and procedures. I was talking, Brother Drew Stiver had his adenoids and tubes put in this week, and we've had 7 kids have their tonsils removed, tubes, or adenoids in the last year, and I've gotten kind of cold to it. Like, I send them 100 popsicles and tell them, praise the Lord, because by the time their mother tells me they went into surgery, they already out. I'd be like, how are they? Like, oh, he's good. He's up eating meals and everything else. I'm like, what is going on? Drew was up drinking Mountain Dew, popping no-dos, everything else. Everything was good. He was living his best life. I'm like, what kind of procedure? They can do, well, when I was a little kid, when you got your tonsils out, you was out of school for a couple weeks. You was bleeding. They was taking care of you. And you was getting babied for real. Now they're like, are you fine? Medical, they can fix medical issues. Technology issues can be solved. You can Google or YouTube how to do anything. Last week, I was a car mechanic. Yeah, I got me a jumpsuit. It says Bubba. And I went outside and I was YouTube and stuff. I was like, I can figure out how to do this. I'm like, where's my wrench? And I was like, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was a roofer. I said, you know what? Let me YouTube how to fix this. Let me get a couple of shingles and some roofing nails. Let me go on up here. 3 weeks ago, I was an electrician. I said, man, I got to change this 3-way switch. Let me go in here and YouTube how to do this. 4 weeks ago, guess what? Y'all going to like this one. I was a gardener. You know what? I don't like the garden. It was fall time. The leaves was coming. I said, let me YouTube how to fix this up and make this look pretty for the spring when the spring comes. Listen, you can YouTube and Google anything. All the things of practicality and earthly things you can fix, but no human means can bring you salvation. There's only peace in his revelation in the trial of the spiritual battles that rage on with us. Only by the revealing of the word of God can you be saved. Now listen, if you can only be saved by the revealing of the word of God, then your trials can only be ended by you going to the word of God. You say, I got a lot of problems in my life, but you ain't opened this book and read it. You hear me ask, I got any Bible readers? Listen, it isn't an entertaining question. It's a question of reality. If this is what you believe it to be, the actual factual word of God, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, if you really believe that, then this isn't a paperweight. If you really believe this, this don't just sit in your car all week. If you really believe this, this isn't a visor when you're in your car driving by to get the sun out of your face. If you really believe it, it's not just a religious book. It's not a book that you just pick up at Christmas to read the Christmas story or at Easter to read about the death of Christ. If you really believe this book is a living word, and it's the way that we go to it and we seek peace through it and we seek the truth through it, because peace and truth are closely connected. Let me explain. When somebody's telling me a big fish story, I don't got no peace in it. Because when somebody's lying to you, you got to start asking more questions. Now, some of y'all ain't going to get this, and that's okay. Now, you know I'm an old school fool that likes 90s and 2000s R&B. And there was this little series. Now, some of you older people are going to get this. The Isley Brothers came back, and they had this thing that was going on, and it was like a back and forth where they, you know, where you been all night, girl? You know, you been at the club? And she's like, no, I ain't been at the club. She's like, yeah, and they sing back and forth, and he's like, you're contagious. Listen, you don't got to worry about what I'm talking about, but you know what you need to know is this. She lying. Yeah, there's a song called Bustin'. She's like, and she's lying. He's like, where you been? She's like, what friends was you with? And she keep asking all these questions. And when you're lying more questions, there ain't no peace in that. If somebody went out and came back to church and told me and Brother Anthony, oh, I caught a 200-pound crappie, we'd be like, there's no such thing as a 200-pound crappie. We'd be asking questions. We'd be like, well, this is what we would do. What'd you catch it on? They'd be like, I caught it on a green treble hook. We'd be like, you ain't catch no crappie on a green treble hook. We'd be like, we gotta ask another question. Were you on a boat or were you on land? Oh, we was wading. You ain't wading and catching no crappie. We'd say, was it warm or was it cold? Was it raining? Oh, it was raining hard. You didn't catch no crappie while it was raining. See, we're going to ask questions because we have knowledge, and it's not brought us any peace. It's only brought us more fury. Some of y'all had a man or a girl in your life once in a while back in the day, and you asked them questions, they had to keep on lying. You went to them and you said, where you been? We was over there at Ray Ray and them house. Well, I talked to Ray Ray's girlfriend, Shaniqua, and Shaniqua said y'all wasn't over there. Busted! More questions are arising, no peace. But when somebody tells you the truth, there's peace. When somebody tells you something that's believable, it's peace. So somebody said, yeah, man, we only caught a few crappie. They were 10, 11 inch. They were okay. You know, nothing to brag about, but they were crappie. We say, we believe you. What'd you catch it on? Oh, man, you little jig. We believe you. Water was warm? Yeah, it was pretty warm. Nice. Clear? Yeah, okay. Yeah, he probably caught crappie. probably the right thing to say. But see, truth brings peace. But the opposite of truth is a lie, which Satan, being the father of lies, brings confusion. Because God's not the author of confusion. You wonder why your life is so confusing, why things are so hard, why there's so many trials, why there's so many tribulations, why things are such a struggle. It's because you got no truth in your life. The truth that brings peace, the revelation that brings a calm, the revelation that brings a stillness in your life. Now watch this. Go with me. I'm going to skip 2 Corinthians 6, but I'm going to look at Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Our overcoming of trials provides evidence of who our Savior is. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Oh, I have declared and have saved and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. When times get hard, remember who he is. When times get hard, remember whose you are. Can I preach benediction and we can go home? Who is he, and who do I need to remember, and how do I need to remember him when things get hard? You ready? Listen, you got hard times, you got trouble, you got burdens, you got bad things going on in your life. Can I tell you that the Savior that we serve is a water walker? He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's a light in the darkness. He's the one that can heal the blind eyes. He's the one that can open up the deaf ears. He's the one that can make the lame to leap. He's the one that made water and made it into the best wine they ever had in their life. He's the one that went out into a boat and he was sleeping. They said, save me, we perish. And he stood up and said, peace be still. And the wind whimpered away and went back to a gentle breeze. He's the one who went out into the wilderness and Satan tempted him 40 days and 40 nights and said, won't you turn this stone into some bread so you can eat? And he said, Satan, you must not know that my God said, I'm not going to live by bread alone, but about every word of God. And see, you got to understand who he is. When you understand who the Savior of the world is, oh, he's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace, but he's much more than even that. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's Jeremiah's Balm and Jordan. He's all these things and above. He's the one that raises up dry bones. He's the one that stands on Mount Calvary and he says, I'm going to die to pay for your sins, but I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to get up in 3 days and I'm going to walk out of the grave and the stone was rolled away and I'm going to come back and eat with you and I'm going to ascend and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, but I'm coming back again someday. Can I testify today that that's who he is in our trouble, in our trial, in our tribulation? We have a Savior. We have the Savior of the world, and you ain't got to worry about today because you know you can live because you got tomorrow. Somebody said hallelujah. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ won't leave you comfortless because he promised in his truth, in his revelation. He said, I'm resurrected, so I'll resurrect you with me. I'll not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Oh, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then thee which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air together with him, and the air shall be with the Lord forevermore. Comfort one another with these words. He says, oh, listen, they're going to reject you because they rejected me. But take comfort in the fact that they reject you because they hate you because they hate me. They hate him because they ain't him. And you got to understand this. When you follow him, he said, let them reject you because I'm the consolation. I'm the blessing. We're the winners. Jesus wrote the song. You thought it was DJ Khaled. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind. See, Jesus said, I got saving on my mind. He said, now everybody that feel me in the building, put your hands up. See, that was holy hands, what DJ Khaled was talking about. He wasn't, y'all would have thought he was talking about trying to start a party. He was talking about this. He was saying, raise your hands up. Jesus said, watch this. Jesus says, follow me. He told Matthew, also known as Levi, follow me. And Matthew followed him. It was simple. Matthew was a publican. People didn't like him. Other Jews would have hated him because they're overtaxing on the money. And he said, follow me. He said, and wait a minute. We got to do something else. Once you follow me, we got to go around some other publicans too. Some other sinners. We're going to sit down and have a meal with them. He said, oh, Zacchaeus, get down from that tree. We got to have dinner up in your house. I don't care what you make. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't really matter, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, come on in here, Lord. You name it. We got it. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, you know, ham, ram, log, dogs. You know, he said, bring it on in here. We got all that. And he came into that place, and they sat down with publicans and sinners. And they said, your master sits with publicans and sinners. And I can only imagine Jesus saying, you know, those who are whole are not needing of a physician. You know what he's saying? People that don't have no problems don't need me. But you got problems today? Should draw you closer to the one. You should follow closer to the one. See, when everything is good, I don't. When I can Google it, I just Google it. I don't be looking at my Bible when it's time for me to find out how much antifreeze I need to put in my car. What's the mixture for the antifreeze? They say, Pastor, why don't you just buy the half and half? I don't want to do half and half. I want to feel like a mechanic. All right, listen. I want to do a solution like a chemist. I'm saying, how much yellow do I put with the water? You know, I can YouTube it. I can Google it. Google Facts. That's what they call me, Mr. Google Facts. I'll find it. I tell our Bible Institute class, Google it. If you need to find the answer, just Google it. It's in there. You can find anything on there. There's no thing that's limited or hidden to us. Just Google it. YouTube it. Somebody on YouTube, some country hack somewhere, can show you how to set up a tent. I looked it up because I don't like to camp. And I was like, who are these fools that go camping in tents? Yeah, I know a lot of you are here today. I know. That's why I said it. And I say, they out there looking ridiculous setting up this tent. I'm going to see how quick I can set up a tent. Let me YouTube it. I did this summer. I YouTubed it because somebody said they were going to camp and they're going to set up a tent. And I was like, that's stupid. And so I was like, let me see. You know, I could set this tent. I believe I could do it today. I think I could set this certain tent up in like 6 minutes because I watched somebody on YouTube. Old Billy was out there. He said, and all you do here is you take your stake right here and you put it right there and you lift this up right there. I said, Billy, I think I could do that because YouTube has taught me. But then you fix every other solution with YouTube and Google and all these other things. But the spiritual solutions, people still refuse to seek where you can find the answer. Oh, remember I named a couple of things? You got money problems. Ta-da! The answer's in here. Oh, you got relationship problems. So did Jesus. His brothers didn't even like him. Ta-da! How can we happen? Oh, they believe after the resurrection. When they seen the resurrection power, the same power that's in Jesus, the Bible says the same power is in you. It's called the resurrection power. If you act like you ain't dead, they might act like they alive. You say, oh, I've got problems with all kinds of things in my life and my health. Last time I checked, they call this man in here a healer. They call him a doctor. They say he's a great physician. Say, I'm having a problem with my spiritual life. Something bad happened to me when I was a kid, and I just can't be spiritual because something, well, when Jesus was a little kid, Herod tried to kill him, tried to snuff him out, couldn't find Jesus. Bethlehem wasn't the biggest place in the world, but we believe at least 1,000 little children under 2 years old were killed by the hand of Herod, just trying to find Jesus. You say, nothing bad happened to Jesus. Jesus went out. His daddy had to move him into Egypt. Now think about it. Jews going to Egypt? That ain't the place to be. That's like me saying, Lord, I just wish that you would place me in the antebellum South. For what? I ain't trying to do. I mean, if you don't know history, you don't get it. But I read a book. You mean you can watch it? You can Google it. My Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, listen, I know deep down in my heart that life is worth the living just because he lives. Even if everything else is going wrong, because he lives, everything else is worth it, guys. When somebody's treating you bad, when something hard's happened, when somebody's been mean to you, somebody's rejected you, life is still worth the living just because he lives. And today I pray that you have that peace in tribulation and trial today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We pray now that you would help us and guide us, Lord, throughout the rest of our day. Lord, we celebrate this advent of your son, Jesus, this birth, Lord. And today we come to you humbly bowing and asking, Lord, boldly before the throne of grace, Lord, for your tender mercies to be applied.